You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Income Outcome Show, a podcast publication part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. The Income Outcome Show is dedicated to pharmacists, pharmacy technicians, pharmacy students, and all pharmacy professionals interested in maximizing their income and providing insights into living a financially free lifestyle.
All matters discussed during this podcast are for informational purposes only. Opinions expressed herein are solely those of Waypoint Strategic Advisors, LLC, and our editorial staff. Material presented is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representations as to its accuracy or completeness. All information and ideas should be discussed in detail with your individual advisor prior to implementation. The presence of this podcast shall in no way be construed or interpreted as a solicitation to sell or offer to sell advisory services to anyone. Waypoint Strategic Advisors, LLC is not affiliated with or endorsed by any government agency and are not engaged in the practice of law. Content should not be viewed as an offer to buy or sell any of the securities mentioned or as legal or tax advice. You should always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation.
And now here are your hosts of the Income Outcome Show, Ben Coakley with Waypoint Strategic Advisors and Joe Castle with Pharmacist Financial.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Income Outcome Show on the Pharmacy Podcast Network. I am Ben Coakley, one of the co-hosts. My partner in crime, Joe Castleman, will not be joining us today, but we do have a special guest. We have Dr. Greg Alston, and Dr. Alston is a pharmacist and has some really unique ideas on how to... And one of the great things about Dr. Alston is he actually helps pharmacists really, I think, define the value that they provide and really turn that into ways to make money in addition to or even you know, rivaling right now kind of the traditional models of pharmacy. So Dr. Alston, welcome to our podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Ben. Appreciate it.
Awesome, brother. Awesome. Now, Dr. Alston, where are you located?
I am currently in Savannah, Georgia. Spent most of my life out in California working for the man. Escaped in 2007 to freedom. And now was in Charlotte for about 10 years. And for the last 3 years, I've been in Savannah, Georgia.
Awesome. And do you enjoy Savannah?
Love it. Y'all need to come down here and have us a visit, especially you poor people sitting up there in the frozen north and minus 25 degrees. We had a really cold snap today. It got down to 72.
Yeah, I actually talked to a pharmacy owner today, and he said, man, it's negative 20 degrees outside right now. And I was like, man, you know, and actually we're on a Zoom conference call, and I texted him, or I did the little message thing, and I said, hey, you know, you choose to live there. And he messaged me back, and he said, I know, for some reason I do. And so it was kind of comical, but Greg, tell us a little bit about your background. We know you're a pharmacist, and but how did you get started in this industry, and then how did you end up where you are now?
Well, a long time ago, back in 1977, my wife and I are both pharmacists. We graduated from the University of Pacific out in Stockton, California, and my ambition was to probably own my own store someday. So getting started, I went to work for one of the drug chains and out there, and ended up working my way up through general management and being groomed to be a vice president of the company and working in distribution and buying and training and marketing and all of that stuff. But then that job got sold out from under me when they merged with another company. So I went to work for the new company. After a few years moving up in that organization, the job got sold out from under me. So I said, go to another one. Went to another company, took over as a California director of pharmacy for Smith's Food and Drug, built it from zero stores up to 34. And guess what happened? They sold it to Rouse, and I didn't want to move to Salt Lake City. So, you know, I can figure things out. After four or five kicks in the face, I said, well, I'm going to start my own damn business. At least that way, if I succeed or fail, I know who to blame, and I don't have to listen to corporate knuckleheads telling me what to do anymore. So we owned and operated our own very high volume, successful pharmacy up until 2007 when I sold it all. But talking about doing like 16,000 scripts a week, 1,000 a day on a Monday, 700, 800 the rest of the week. So I've been an owner, operator, marketer. Along the way, started a chain of Halloween stores, an internet marketing company, couple online businesses. So my whole thing is I want to help pharmacists who are just calling me every day saying, there's got to be something else. I mean, yeah. You know, they're calling me, hey, my hours are getting cut. My company's being sold. Man, I'm working my butt off to make other people rich. You know, I'm tired of these stupid calls they make me make. I got to call a customer and ask them to refill stuff that I know they shouldn't even be refilling. And so what I hear, because now I went to, after I sold the stores, I went to work teaching management and pharmacy at pharmacy schools. I was at Wingate University for about 10 years, and now I'm down in South University in Savannah, Georgia. So I work with the young guys, and I see the excitement and the enthusiasm. They come to us as students, and then I talk to them 3 years after graduation, and I see this just general, oh my God, is this all there is thing going on? So
yeah, so like the life's been sucked out of them.
Yeah, it's like, you hate to say burnout after, you know, 2 years on the job, but it's like, hey, can you stand here all day without any help, not being able to take a potty break or have a drink of water or eat for 14 hours? Well, yay, welcome to pharmacy. And people are tired of that, man. They're looking for something to do that will help them make a living for their family, right? Build some financial stability, build a retirement income. I mean, this is the first generation in history that's got to save for their own retirement. At the same time, they're paying off a big old hunk of student debt. Oh, by the way, they're trying to save for their kids' college. Oh, but you know what? They're also probably going to get stuck taking care of aging mom and dad. So that takes a lot of thought, you know, after you're out there to think about. If you don't put a plan in place to build equity in something, you got equity in nothing. And that's probably a risky place to be right now with the state of the job market. So that's what I do, is try to help people figure out what to do, how to do it, and how to take care of their families and, you know, take their time and energy and turn it into income and equity in things that will persist.
Yeah, no, and I mean, that's really important. You know, we talk about on our podcast, we talk about, you know, income producing assets versus, you know, accumulating assets. And, you know, and one of the big challenges that we see when we're dealing with people who are new out of school, by the way, you know, Greg, I think I've told you before, I have a wife who's a P4 in pharmacy school. So I get to see this kind of first with how this goes. And I will tell you that some of the rotations, she comes back and she's like, man, I'm not doing that. That's not what I signed up for. So at least, you know, I think, you know, Greg, people are starting to become conscious of this thought process of, hey, I went into pharmacy to serve people and serve patients, and I don't feel like I'm doing maximizing what I've been told and taught and trained to do. And so with that being said, these young people, I mean, what's a couple things that, you know, a couple, you know, nuggets of wisdom that Greg Alston would recommend these people coming out of school, or maybe they're 1 or 2 years out of school, you know, what's a couple nuggets you can give them that would really help them think about taking the leap to become, you know, own their own value, as you would say?
Well, I think realistically, in one of my previous lifetimes, I, you know, was a regional pharmacy manager for 2 different drug chains, had several hundred young pharmacists working for me. So what I would see them do is they're excited, they're graduated. So as soon as they get done being a poor student, they want to go buy a car, buy a boat, buy a house, and they do all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're cash poor. They're putting all their money, you know, as paycheck to paycheck. And it's interesting, but I mean, we used to monitor the overtime in the drug chain, right? So I would get a report every week of who used overtime. And the company policy was, you know, if you were helping a customer, you could stay up to 15 minutes to help the last customer. So all of a sudden, when I saw somebody taking 15 minutes every day of every shift, I would call them up and I'd say, hey, I heard you got a new car. I said, how'd you know? I said, stop milking the damn overtime, man. So what the reality is, they get themselves spread too thin and they got too many irons in the fire and they buy stuff rather than buying income producing assets. So you buy a boat, it's the opposite of an income producing asset because it needs insurance, it needs repairs, it needs maintenance, you have to pay to store it. So it sucks more money than just buying the boat, right? Well, if they put that same money into a good investment, then over time, they have more assets. And that's what kids they don't come up with any financial literacy anymore. And that's their biggest issue. They just don't understand how money works and how investments work. And they're smart kids and they got a lot to do. We just have to help them understand how to do it right, where it helps and benefits their family instead of somebody else's family.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Dr. Olson, we, in the last podcast, Joe and I did, Be a Financial Valentine podcast. We talked about how all corporate America is defining how you should live your life. And they portray this. You're not happy unless you have the boat, you have this brand new car. And, you know, I just imagine, and I envision the Mercedes commercial where they're in the convertible and the wind's blowing through the hair and they're like, this is the greatest feeling on earth. And, you know, and then you interview that same person and, you know, they work till they're 87 years old because they can't afford to retire. And, you know, so I feel like not only are we not taught in pharmacy school or even as young people financial literacy, but I also feel like as soon as we get out and we're starting to make money, we let a lot of these corporations and people define what needs to happen in our life for us to feel like we're worth something. And what you're saying is that sometimes part of that, there is some truth to that about having a decent lifestyle, but part of it at the same time is we can't have such a lifestyle that we neglect building assets and building wealth in other areas, because at some point you get tired. Yeah. You get tired of working and allocating all these time and energy to what you're doing. And you may want to take a break and slow down some. If you don't have anything building, does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I think what the biggest mistake that pharmacists have made historically, I've been doing this for 42 years, is we've let other people define our value. So right now, you know, the big corporation chain drug stores, the big hospitals are corporate entities, and they have determined what a pharmacist is worth with a dollar per hour rate that they put in the marketplace. And many, many pharmacists, if you ask them the question, how much does a pharmacist make? They'll say, you know, $55 an hour, $60 an hour, $45 an hour, whatever it is where they live. And I look at them and say, why are you settling for so little money? And they say, what do you mean? And I said, well, look, why are you only making $50 an hour? I mean, I've done things in my life where I make $1,500 an hour or $2,000 an hour. So why are you settling for $60? They can't get out of their head that they got to trade time for money, right? And the reality is, if you do it right and you build an income-producing asset, there's a point in that process where it's a mature business where you can drastically diminish the amount of time you spend on a project and make really good money. So sure. they just don't understand. They get caught up in this dollar per hour thing and working for others. When you work for one of those companies, there are some good companies, but there's some that are a pain in the rump. But basically what you're doing is you're buying a job.
Sure.
But what young folk have to understand, that the opportunity cost of having a good job is you don't build any assets for yourself. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't know what opportunity costs mean, it means, hey, if I choose choice A, I can't choose choice B. So if I'm spending 40 hours a week working for Wags or CVS, I can't spend those 40 hours investing in my own future. And so that's fine when you're getting started, but once you got experience and once you know what you're doing, yeah, it's time to start thinking about other options, right?
Sure, sure.
And start looking at what can you do that builds assets and income and equity for you and your family so that, you know, whatever. So like taking an example of a store ownership, you know, if you go to work for a company and you make $100,000 a year, you put $10,000 a year in your 401k, 10 years later, you got, you know, $120,000 in your 401k, woohoo, right? If you invest that same $100,000 in a pharmacy that you buy for $1 million, 10 years later, you have $1 million asset.
Yeah.
That you can sell, that you can use, that you can make money with. And the beautiful thing of that is when you stop paying the debt back that you borrowed, you now have doubled your income. So 10 years later, you got double the income and $1 million asset. What do you rather do?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you brought up a great point about they define, you know, these companies define your value. And, you know, and there's a reason, I think, Greg, that they do that. And I think that's because they want people to think this is what I'm worth. And one of our strategic coaches, and I think you've had the pleasure of meeting him a couple of times. He, one time I asked him, I said, well, how much do you get paid per hour? And he said, I don't get paid per hour.
Right.
I get paid for the value that I deliver.
Right.
And I just remember thinking to myself, like, and what a novel concept.
Well, let me give you a perfect example, okay? I write books for fun, and I put them on Amazon.com, right? So I spend, say, if I spend 100 hours making a book, and I put it out there, and it costs me a couple $1,000 to market it and do the cover and get it all edited and all that, right? So I spend that kind of money. Well, then if the book launches and it produces $500, $1,000 a month in revenue, how'd that work out? Well, you know, in 3 or 4 months, the investment's paid back, and now it's throwing off $500, $1,000 a month in revenue. That's an investment in an income stream. That's not an expenditure. So people spend their money instead of investing it, which is what kills them, because they never get anywhere, right?
Yeah.
So the reality is every one of the kids that I graduate, the ones I talk to, they all have a talent. They got to figure out what that is. They got to figure out how to market it, and they got to put that talent in a position to be successful. So if you're going to get paid 8 hours a day to solve problems and you work on $1 problems, you're going to get $8 a day. If you work on $1 million problems, you might get $100,000 a day. The problem that you're solving for me, if it costs me $1 million to use this product and you show me how to get a product that saves me that $1 million, what's that worth to me? Well, it's worth a lot.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right? But if it only took you 4 hours to do, I don't care. You still saved me the money. So,
if I pay you $100, I still save $900,000. You know, I mean,
yeah. People put themselves in a position where they guarantee that they're going to have a crummy experience rather than putting themselves in a situation where they have a long-term benefit from their time and energy.
I feel a blog coming on. Don't put yourself in a position. Well, I forgot how you said it. But don't put yourself in a crummy position. You know, I mean, it's, What's amazing about it, in my opinion, is, again, the fact that, and I've talked to young people coming out of school, and they tell me this is what I'm worth. And I say, you know, did you define that again, or did somebody else? And so I think, Greg, it's really important that you really focus on defining your value. And then when you define your value, what you just said, you got to be able to market it and create a business model and take it and tell people about it and find the right people and network. So there's a lot to this. So let me
put it in context for those of y'all that are listening. Okay. All y'all that are working for somebody else. Look at that. I went right from California to Georgia. You hear that?
Hey, all y'all. I heard a y'all, and I heard that Southern
great
draw.
Great word, man. It works. But anyway, here's a question for all y'all. Right? Raise your hand if your particular job that you have right now can guarantee you that you still have that job in 5 years? I don't see any hands raised. Right?
Yeah, we are on a podcast.
But the reality is, there isn't a single employer that would look you in the face and say, I can guarantee you that you're going to have this same job in 5 years, because they're buying and selling each other. They're closing hospitals. They're, you know, look at Rite Aid disappeared. You know, Sears just went out of business. Yeah. Kodak is out of business. I mean, they can't guarantee that. So
that's uncertain, right?
Turning over your livelihood and your family's ability to survive to your boss. So if you have a really good boss in a growing company, that's probably smart. If you don't, what are you waiting for?
But Greg, but even that, you put your faith in that boss and that growing company. Man, one of my favorite stories is I was talking to a lady, and the owner of her pharmacy sold to another owner.
Mm-hmm.
And at least we kept it independent. It stayed independent. So that's the positive side of this. But she looked at me and she was almost in tears, because she was like, I just can't work for this new person.
Yeah.
I can't do it. And I loved this person, this former owner. The new guy, he's got completely different philosophy. He's all about the money. And, you know, and I have a feeling he's going to sell at some point to a chain, and, you know, they're all going to be looking for new jobs. And,
yeah.
And I remember just thinking to myself, like, you know, you hitched your wagon to somebody who told you they would never sell. Now, these people are not clients of ours, so I'm not disclosing anything confidential here. You hitched your wagon to somebody that you thought was awesome. He said all the right things. And then as soon as somebody came by with the right amount of money, gone.
Yeah. So here's the way I look at that. You got to think of yourself, even if you're working for somebody else. You're really a business. You have X hours a week to devote to income generation, right? And you're currently choosing to spend that trading your time for an hourly wage. So that's fine. But then, if you want to actually own anything and have revenue not tied directly to your time investment, you have to do something that people want to pay for. And the key to doing something valuable is to help other people get what they want out of life. Your wealth is going to flow directly from the value that you create for other people. Now, as pharmacists, I think we know that. In the corporate pharmacy space, that gets kind of lost in translation, right? So I go to a certain chain store A, and the service I get is laughably poor. And I know the pharmacist, he's a nice guy, but he's got no help. It's like, that's not pharmacy the way I want to do it. Now, you know, I started out there and I liked it. I probably would have stayed at that one company forever if they hadn't sold, because they were really good. But the reality is, I've changed career paths 5 or 6 times. Nobody talking on this call today is going to have the same job 7, 8 years from now that they have right now. There's too much change going on in the marketplace. So you have to learn to be in front of the curve. You have to learn to put your value in a position where it can compete for other positions, for other opportunities. And what that means is, if you're not in the top 10% of what you do in the future, I don't think you're going to get paid, because there's too many people out there. You have to define something that you can do that people want to pay for, and you have to build your authority in that space and become a leader in that space. So we find there's pharmacists doing really cool stuff right now in functional medicine and hormone replacement and in genomics, because what they're saying is, I have to figure out how to be a pharmacist without selling prescriptions, because you know, that thing is running its course. So, okay. But now it could also flip back, right? There's things underway with our current president breaks the back of the PBMs. Maybe all those scripts, half the scripts in the country being filled by mail. Maybe they all come back. Maybe the ownership is the best opportunity again in the future. So you have to understand how to do it, how to find it, and how to turn it into something worth doing. And that's the kind of stuff that that I love doing and working with the young folks and older folks even, and
sure,
helping them get where they want to go. Because it's all, I just get frustrated. You know, what has happened is our industry has been led by this certain mantra for the last 40 years. I've heard, hey, if you build your clinical skills, the world's going to beat a path to your door. Right? We're going to get these clinical skills and people are going to just be dying to pay us. Well, you know what? How's that working out? Right? I mean, I got PGY2 residents that have all this training to get paid less than a guy at Walgreens. So the marketplace hasn't said, we love those skills. What they've said is, we don't have to pay it. And so the industry's been wrong. And as a consequence of that, they've said things like, hey, technology is going to save your world. You're going to make the script so easy that we'll expand the roles of pharmacists. Well, hey, when people added technology, what did they do? They took pharmacists out. They had a central fill and took the middle shift pharmacists out. Okay. You got to understand the reality is you're in charge of your own destiny. You may choose to believe it or not, but the reality is you are. And if you let other people define it, you got to take what they give you. If you want to be in charge, if you want to have a good living, if you want to do well, then you got to be better than everybody else. Being mediocre is not going to cut it in the future.
Yeah, you got to own it. You got to own it, right? I mean, that's the key.
Hey, the easiest thing to do is to be mediocre, right? It takes a little work to be better than that. And
you know, Greg, sometimes you just want to be mediocre. I'm seriously, like, I think about,
I do laundry mediocre. I do it that way on purpose.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And then you're like, then you can justify paying somebody else to do it because I'm just not any good at that. Let's pay somebody else to do it. The what's really funny is, you know, in our team here at Waypoint, we'll talk about our collaboration here in a second. We'll kind of end the podcast with kind of our collaboration and where we're going with all this and why we're partnering together through this collaboration. But one of the things that we talked about to my staff, and we have 14 of us, and on our sales meetings, I always end it with, hey, when you come to work, you can choose to give it everything you got and make a difference. And you can choose to be great at what you do. Mm-hmm. But Greg, that means you got to give it everything you got.
Right.
That when you choose to work, you got to do it. You can't just say, I'm taking the day off today.
There's a reason that Tom Brady's still winning Super Bowls at 40 years old, man. The guy works his tail off. So it's that. And I think what I've seen in that score is far too many young pharmacists, this is a trap they fall into. They get to work for a crummy company that has crummy policies and they have lousy customer service, and they fall into the trap of doing mediocre work. And that'll haunt you. What you got, because every job you get in pharmacy after your first one is a referral. You get that job because another pharmacist that's growing says, hey, goes to their staff and says, hey, I need somebody to do this job. And hey, I got a friend that's really good. And they recommend you. The stuff doesn't hit the papers. The good jobs never hit the want ads. So if I've worked with you and you thought the company was crummy, you did half-assed work, guess what? I'm never recommending you. I don't need somebody that can do mediocre work. I can find those anywhere. But if I worked with you and it was a crummy company, but you worked your tail off and took care of the customers and were positive and were upbeat and were a great pharmacist, I remember that. 5 years later, I might have a job opening. I'm going to call you up and say, hey, you want to come to work? And this is a closed shop, man. Everybody, every pharmacist in America, if I don't know you, I know somebody that knows you. It's a you're maybe two steps away from each other.
Yeah.
You can't fake it. In this profession, you got to know, you got to perform, right?
Yep.
If you do perform, when the good jobs open, you'll get the call.
Yeah. You know, that's a great point. There was a book written called The Go-Giver, and it talks about the five laws of stratospheric success. And one of the laws is the law of authenticity. And I remember reading this book and I was like, you know what? People are going to see through. You know, if you're just giving it really going through the motions, mm-hmm. it's just like, you know, again, even if you can be the person that gives it everything they got, and you're working in a horrible situation, you still got to be that person that gives it everything you got and makes a difference. You bloom where you're planted, as we say. Bloom where you're planted. You got to bloom. Yeah, you can't help where you get planted sometimes. So Greg, let's talk a little bit about our collaboration. So I know we're creating and you're creating something called the Pharmacist Success Academy. Tell me a little bit about the vision behind that and how people can find that and what we're trying to do there.
Well, the thought is this, is that after you've been out for a couple of years and you woke up one day and said, is that all there is? Then we're trying to build a pathway to help you get the skills and training you need to find your niche, to monetize that niche, and to start building wealth for your family. Okay. Now there's that question, or the answer to those questions are wholly dependent on where you are, what you know, what you can do, your personal style. And so the process that we intend to go through with you is to say, you know, identifying your particular strengths, what you're good at, helping you figure out a pathway to turn that into income. And it can be full-time, it can be part-time, it can be owning your own business, it can be building a new business line out within your existing company. You can, a good pathway for more income could be, you know, getting the promotion or getting a new job within your own company. You don't have to have your own business, but you have to do something that expands your income horizon, or get stock options, or, you know, something. And then we're going to get you the training you need, and we're going to get you the mentoring you need to put it in place and get going. So the whole idea is helping you identify what you want to do, and then helping you turn that idea into an income stream. And people that already have a business may need help, you know, with running that better. But the primary focus, at least on launch, is going to be helping people start breaking free of that wage time issue and start learning how to make additional income, either as a part-time or as a startup or as a purchase or something they can do to take their skills and turn it into income in a business and equity and financial independence for their families.
Sure. And one of the things that I think is important is it doesn't matter where you are in your life in pharmacy, whether you're that staff pharmacist that's working at a chain store looking to do something different, or whether you're an owner, you still have to find ways to bring value and define the value, and then find ways to make money, monetize that value. And so it doesn't matter where you are. You could be the most established owner we've ever met, Greg, and you still, we believe at Waypoint, we believe that if you're a business owner, you're reinventing yourself pretty much every 5 to 8 years now, just because things are changing so rapidly with technology and everything. So it doesn't matter where you are. If you feel like you're stuck and you're not moving, you're stuck in the mud and you're kind of moving in slow motion and you want to accelerate things, well, it really helps to start thinking a little bit differently. And I think that's where what got us excited about the partnership with you, Greg, is that you are thinking differently. You are thinking about how to define value and find unique ways to build business models that are going to bring sustainability for the next, heck, it might be 5 to 8 years. Maybe doing this again in 5 to 8 years. But
yeah, I think the key is that, there, when you come to that realization that what you're doing isn't maybe in your family's best interests, where do you go? So there's a lot of business opportunities in the world, but if you don't understand the basic financial statements, or you don't understand how to market, or you don't understand the basics, you don't even know how to evaluate those things, right? So everybody starts at a different place. So some people, like pharmacy students, will come to me and say, I want to own my own store. Well, I talk to them. Well, one guy's been working, he's worked at 10 different stores for 10 years, and he knows a lot about it. Okay, that's a different conversation than somebody that's never even worked in a pharmacy. They're graduating, they think they would like it. you know, you got to, there's a experience, there's, you know, what you like versus what you're good at. There's a lot of different components that go into picking the right strategy for you that's going to be successful, and not trying to do something that somebody else did because you saw them do it well. If it's not something that you love doing, or you resonate with your soul, you're not going to stick with it, and you're going to lose all your money, right? So what you got to do is figure out the best pathway for yourself, and figure out how to turn that into money. And some people can do that in a couple of months. Some people, it takes them a year or two to really absorb it and get their head around it. And then we've had some people that, you know, they don't make that decision until they're 55 and realize, crap, I got 10 years left and this company has no future. Now's time. I better get an asset out there. Sure. So it happens at different time, different place for everybody. But, you know, if, I mean, the goal that I have is to put a system in place where whoever needs the help can get it. Can get the business training. We look at four different things. People need help learning how to manage the numbers. They need help learning how to manage people. They need help learning how to manage a value strategy, which is, how do I put a compelling strategic advantage in the business where people will just look at you and say, wow, I'd be crazy not to use your service. And then you have to manage your own internal controls, your mindset, your stress levels, those things, your balance between your family life and work. You know, if you focus too much on money, you're going to lose all your money. Because you got to focus on value. If you make good stuff happen for other people, the money will find you, right? Sure. And so people get all caught up on trying to find the money-making thing. And it isn't about that. It's about finding the thing that produces valuable, transformational value for your patient or your customer. And if you do that, the money's going to come. And so it's just basic, like taking 40 years of horse sense and sharing it with folks and helping them get where they want to go and take care of their families. That's my gig, man.
Awesome, brother. Awesome. Well, how do they, if they want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Well, the site is under just construction right now. It will be pharmacistsuccessacademy.com. It's not quite ready to launch as of today, but it should be here soon. They can also get me through greglalston.com, which is my blog. But yeah, I mean, just reach out anytime. I guess we're going to be up at Medipreneurs in April too, right? So
yep, we'll be there.
Catch some people up there. Yeah, this is a different time, man. 10 years ago, people were paying $30,000 sign-on bonuses. You could be a mediocre pharmacist with a heartbeat and fog a mirror, and you could get a job. Those days are gone, man. So you got to figure out, what's the best use of your time and energy to take care of your family? And that's a complex question to answer. So anybody that has a one size fits all approach is really not doing you service.
Yeah. And if you're, you know, Greg, you really need to evaluate where you get your advice from too. I mean, it's, you know, there are a lot of people who say, hey, you know what, you know, it's okay. You know, it's okay. You know, I know you were getting paid $65 an hour, you know, 10 years ago. And, you know, now it's $48 an hour. Now, you know, it's just still $48 an hour. And, you know, there are some people, again, you have to understand that from their perspective, maybe $48 an hour is a lot of money, but you have to define your goal and what you want to be and where you want to go. Right. And, you know, and again, I think that's important. So, if you want to get in touch with Greg, reach out to him. If you want to get in touch with us, and obviously we can get you connected to Greg, Ben at waypointrx.com. Go to waypointrx.com, and we've got our phone number on there. You can actually call that number, or, you know, Greg, technology. How about things changing? You can actually text my landline now. How about that? I mean, it's...
Jeez, what do you know?
I know. Isn't it amazing how, like, yeah, 5 years ago, you'd never imagine, like, texting a landline? But...
Well, so I think, did I say Greg at greglalston.com is my email if people want to reach out. But again, we'll probably launch in kind of a in a low-key format. There'll be lots of things added over time as we get things built out. But the key that we're trying to do is get people hooked up with the training and a mentor that they need to be successful. There are some cool stuff going on in this profession. There are some fun stuff going on. Yep. And I want to share those things with everybody too. So the purpose of the site is, you know, there'll be a lot of stuff on there you can just explore. You know, here's what things people are doing in the marketplace that they're making money with that are fun and engaging. And just think of this, you guys that are out there working. Do you love going to work every day? I mean, do you wake up and say, man, I can't wait to get there? If not, why not, right? If that answer is not yes, then you're in the wrong place, man.
Sure. change your outputs, you got to change your inputs. That's a famous saying from Samantha Coakley, my wife. She tells me that all the time. So all right, Dr. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. If anybody has any questions, reach out to Dr. Austin or reach out to me personally, and we'll be glad to help you in any way we can. So thank you for listening to this edition of the Income Outcome Show.
Thanks, man.
Yep, thanks, Greg.
Interested in learning more about maximizing your income and living a financially free lifestyle? Contact the Income Outcome Show today to learn more about your financial possibilities and best practices in managing your money to create opportunities for lasting wealth. Go to pharmacypodcast.com under the contact section and send us a message, and we'll get back to you within 24 hours. Thanks for listening to the Income Outcome Show, a podcast publication part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network.